Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Hello, good morning. Good to see everyone in your cars. Can everybody hear us good? All right. We're going to encourage everyone. I know we don't have words up, but most of these songs you guys should know, so just lift your voices, lift your hands, close your eyes, however you want to worship from your car. Yeah. First, though, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come to this park this morning. And Lord, just to have church, Lord, to have that little bit of fellowship, even at a distance, Lord God, that we've been missing. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would just bless today's service, Lord God. I pray that your spirit would be in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
We bow down and worship him now.
break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. And everything I am, and everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that we can lift your name on high and sing Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, I pray that today that our hearts would be, Lord, just softened to you, Lord God, that we would be in surrender, Lord God. Lord, that we can know that you have a plan. Lord, that you are faithful. Lord, that you are sovereign, Lord. That we would put our trust in you. Lord, that we would worship you in Jesus' name as we continue to worship.
Even when I need you working, even when I Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you, for you are good. You are faithful. And today, Lord, as we gather together, we thank you that we can do it even to this extent. It just feels great, Lord, to be in your presence, to be together, Lord, even at a distance. But Lord, today we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to each one of our hearts, that you would speak to us where we need to be spoken to. That, Lord, if anyone out there needs to be surrendered to you today, that they would do that. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, awesome. All right. Is it not a beautiful day? Woo! Fantastic. There you go. I guess I should say, honk if you love Jesus. Oh, that was good. The neighbors love us. Yes. Hey, you know, I've had a couple of the ushers come to me where some of you are giving a love offering. And they're like, what do I do with this? Because we don't have. Well, if you on the way out, we have a couple of things set up there if you want to give. Also, they have orange. Or is that orange? I believe it's orange. Yes, it's orange. Orange shirts on. I'm colorblind. Orange shirts on, and at both exits. They're also going to have any information cards or anything that you might want to grab. And of course, I'm going to give an opportunity for each and every one of you to rededicate your life or surrender your life or for the first time accept Christ. And so keep that in mind. Okay. Okay. So keep that in mind. If you want, yeah, keep that in mind. If you have a love offering, that's awesome. Now, if you would, please open your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. And you're going to want to put a bookmark or whatever you need. Yeah, 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 7 through 11, and then we will also read verse 18. But I titled our message today, Love Finds a Way. And so 1 John chapter 4 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love, and this is the love of God was manifest towards us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then verse 18 says this, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And so today I want to talk about that, because listen, there's a lot of things going on in the world. I mean, we're here in this parking lot sitting in our cars because there is some crazy stuff going on. What's interesting, as I look out, it looks like all those cars are smiling. As I look at the grill, it's like, happy cars. Okay. But listen, it is important that we understand that God is love. We got to understand that he loves us. He has a plan for us. And listen, love finds a way, always finds a way. And so we're going to wrap that in our heart. Don't turn from there, because we're going to come back to it. But I'm reminded of this couple who's going to get married. So they went to the best cake maker in town. Well, this best cake maker in town just happened to be an atheist. Well, she asked him to write on the cake 1 John 4:18, which says, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And being an atheist, he didn't know there was a 1 John, a 2 John, or even that there was a different John. So he simply wrote John 4:18. The surprise to the bride and groom when they read the verse, it said, For you have five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. Yay, what a great wedding cake, right? But here's the thing. We know that perfect love does cast out fear, that we can stand in love. But the problem is, here's the problem, folks. In today's society, people don't know what love is. Let me prove it to you. Of course, every year, a myriad of songs are written with the theme of love. And we can tell by the titles, just look at the titles, that obviously people don't know what love is. How about this? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Because I'm addicted to love. Love is like oxygen. Love is in the air. Can't buy me love. I'm all out of love. Must have been love. Can't hurry love. What does love have to do with it? You give love a bad name. Crazy little thing called love. Let your love overflow. I think I love you. Now, that's reassuring. Love will keep us together. 50 ways to leave your lover. Lost without your love. You lost that love and feeling. Love don't live here anymore. Love is a battlefield. Hey, love hurts. But the ultimate proof that we do not know what love is a song written by Tom T. Hall called I Love. And I'm going to read the words to you. Listen to this. The guy says, I love little baby ducks, old pickup trucks, small, slow-moving trains, and rain. I love little country streams, sleeping without dreams, Sunday school in May, and hay. Oh, yeah. And then he says, and I love you too. Oh, great. That's, you love me like, hey, you love me like a little baby duck. How about this? I love leaves in the wind, pictures of my friends, the birds of the world, and squirrels. I love coffee in a cup, lazy fuzzy pups, old TV shows, and snow. And oh, yeah. I love you too. Wow. Just think about that. That's his idea of love. He loves squirrels and snow, rain and hay, and then you get to be included in that list. That doesn't sound all that grand. But when you really realize who love is, you realize that that's really trite. That really doesn't encompass what true love is. I think the most honest song is the one that says, I want to know what love is. I think that's at least a writer of a song who's being honest. Now, we don't know what love is. But within that question, I want to know what love is the problem. Because love isn't a what, love is a who. And his name is Jesus. Amen. In fact, right there where you have your finger in 1 John 4, if you look at verse 16 says, God is love. Amen. And so keep that in mind. It's not, I want to know what love is. It should be, I want to know who love is. And if you ask that question, that is the right question to get you underway to know the living God and to have a plan in your life. Why? Because God is love. Okay, great. We have established that, sort of. But also know this. Love always has a plan. Remember when you fell in love? Some of you can't remember that far back. But some of you are like, does anyone ever fall in love? Listen, remember when you fell in love? All you could think about is planning how you could be with the one that you love. Well, guess what? Our God, who is love, feels that way about you. All of existence, all of creation was about God planning out how he could spend time with you. Why? God is love. That's why Jeremiah 29:11 says this. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In other words, he says, listen, I'm thinking of you. That's what love does. When you're in love, you can't stop thinking about the person that you're in love with, right? No? Hey, thank you. All right. Yeah, every now and then, I don't mind a little, you know. All right. For listen, so God loves you. He knows the thoughts he thinks towards you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. Now, Psalm 36:5. By the way, let me give you a little hint. If you're taking notes, don't try and write Psalm first. Just write the number and then write the book after you write the number. I learned that a long time ago. A pastor told me that. Listen, you'll keep up a lot quicker if you write the number, then write the book. So Psalm 36:5. So 36:5 in the book of Psalm. All right. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heaven. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Beyond the clouds. And we see some beautiful clouds tonight. His love for you reaches beyond those clouds right there. Beyond that. And so God is desperately, hopefully, incredibly in love with you. And then you look around the world and you say, really, God? But why is all this stuff happening? Well, despite all of the turmoil, all of the concerns. Some of you may even be struggling with anxiety today. That is not God's plan for you. God's plan for you is to have you go through these adversities, trusting in him, knowing that he's going to get you through. 1 John 4 says that God is love. And understand this, in his love from the beginning, from creation, back in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living being. He became a living being. And so God had a plan for man from the beginning. From the beginning. When he created man, it was all with a purpose. And you go, but wait a minute. Didn't Adam and Eve fall to sin? Yes. But even in their sin, God had a plan. He has a plan. Why? Because love always finds a way. When you're in love with someone, it doesn't matter the obstacles, you will find a way. every single time. Even when sin has entered, God finds a way. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So what God is saying there, he's saying, look, I know you have sin. Let's reason together. But even though you have sin in your life, God, I love you. Therefore, I have a plan of salvation. He's saying your sins can be white as snow. Why? Because Jesus Christ is going to come and take our sins upon the cross and die for us. God has a plan. He finds a way. I like what D.L. Moody says. D.L. Moody says, faith makes all things possible. Love makes all things easy. I love that. Listen, first of all, God makes all things possible. But when you're in love with someone, it doesn't matter how hard it is to figure out how you're going to spend time with them. It doesn't matter what the cost, you're going to do it. That's the way God feels about you. Interesting, one person said this. Oh, really? If love is the answer, can you please rephrase the question? Because obviously they didn't get it. Listen, it's important that we understand love is the answer. Why? Because God is love. Therefore, if for all life's difficulties, if you and I can just remember how he feels about us. And you say, but I don't feel like God loves me. Well, he's proven it. How did he prove it? He sent his son. He paid the price. He leaped over every possible hurdle. He was faithful to show us that he loved us. See, the love that will not bear all, care for all, share all, is not love at all. We need to understand that. And so God, he gave his all. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. God gave his all. He shared his all. Because he is all that love is. Now, listen, please, understand this. God is, it's not that God is loving. That's an attribute. But God is love. He is absolutely love. The desire to love is to give. The desire of lust is to take. The desire of selfishness is to do nothing. Brothers and sisters, we have to figure out what are we doing. If we have the desire to love, we give just as God gave. Amen. And I'm talking about our time, our treasure, our talents. Giving our time, giving up our reputation if it means we might upset someone in order to share the love of Christ. The desire of lust, when someone lusts for someone else, all they want is to take. They don't want to give, they just want to take. And of course, the desire of selfishness is just to do nothing and let everything cater to oneself. So wrong. So wrong. You know, I saw an example of this letter. It was written, it said this, "Dear Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt ever since I called off our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take the place of you in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Mary. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery. I'm so excited for us." That's not love. That's lust. They want to take. Brothers and sisters, we have to make sure that we are not selfish. That when lust doesn't actually just have to be sexual. Lust can be for things, for items, for positions, for all kinds of things. And sometimes we use people. I pray that's not you. But sometimes people use people to get what they want. That's a form of lust. And then there are others who do nothing for anyone other than themselves, and that's selfishness. None of that is the Spirit of God. Listen. Where love reigns, That's where God reigns. You cannot say that God reigns in your life if you are not yourself loving. And by the way, where God reigns, love always finds a way. And you say, what are you talking about, Pastor Randy? I mean this. When God is in your life and you have the God of love reigning in your life, you will find a way to share him with others. You will always find a way. Why? Because that's what love does. Now, so far, I would hope to say that the message is encouraging and is uplifting. But I also want to take a moment, not to get you down, but to tell you the truth. And the truth is, as we look around at the world, there are some people saying, oh gosh, the apocalypse is coming. This is the end of the world. Oh, don't take a vaccine, because if it is, it's the mark of the beast. And they're saying all these things. Not true. I was supposed to do that in my sleeve, wasn't I? Listen, this is not the end, folks. I'm here to tell you this is not the end. In fact, the Bible tells us it's going to get worse before it gets any better. You're like, yay, woo-wee. No, it's got to get worse. That's what the Bible says. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But this isn't about us barricading ourselves in our home with water, rice, and shotguns. That's not what this is about. Listen, if you're a hoarder, if you've gone and you bought hundreds of rolls of toilet paper, if you're a Christian, you need to be sharing that with other people.
Thank you. I do it.
It's about sharing. Amen. Okay, just drop your toilet paper in my car on the way up. No. No, listen. If we hoard, it's so that if things were to get a lot worse, and they may this time around, they may not now, it may be 10 years from now, we might come through this next month and everything be fine and back to normal. We don't know. But I do know this. No matter what happens, if we have Christ in our life, we are to be love, an expression of Jesus. So, it's not about us barricading ourselves with water, rice, and shotguns. Why? The Lord is coming soon. And he's going to, listen, when the Lord comes, those clouds, we're going to meet him in clouds like those. It could be at the end of this message.
Yes.
He could have came just then, but I couldn't hear him. Your car needs some self-esteem. I'm just teasing.
I don't have no car, Pastor. I don't have no car.
Listen, you know what I love? I love the fact when the Lord returns, he's going to make everything right. With him, there will be an age of peace. There will be time where men will not learn of war anymore. Well, you know what's interesting? If you look at Job chapter 3, don't turn there, you can write it down. Job chapter 3, it says, beat your plowshares into swords and turn your pruning hooks into spears. But then when you get to Isaiah 2, when he talks about Christ returning, he says, beat your swords into plowshares and your spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer take up sword against nation, nor train anymore for war. That's the plan of God. The plan of God is to get us to a point where there is no more war, whether it be between person to person, family to family, state to state, Republican or Democrat, that there should be no more wars between nations, but there will be unity in Christ.
Amen.
So important. In fact, there will be no more wars, but the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. How awesome is that going to be? There will not be an atheist alive, period. Everyone will know that Jesus Christ reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Listen, as I read my Bible and you read your Bible, what do we find? We find that he can make a way in the wilderness. He causes the streams to rise up in the desert. He brings refreshing even to a desert. Look at what we're doing today. He can split the sea and allow us to walk through the dry ground. He moves mountains. He can move barriers before us. He's conquered giants. He brings victory to his children. He can cause the mouth of lions to provide safety for us. He can open doors, prison doors, and set us free. God can do this. He can protect us from the flames of adversity, from the flames that want to devour us. He can carry us through the storms. He is the God of miracles. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's in charge, and he's never going to change. He's got our backs. Hallelujah. And do you know that God is willing to fight for us? Amen. There is a battle in the spiritual realm for your soul even today. The turmoil in your life, the anxiety, the worry. Trust me, Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for you and I. We need to understand that. But Proverbs 18:10 says this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Brothers and sisters, here's the thing. If in your life there is turmoil right now, if in your life there is anxiety right now, if in your life there is worry or anything, angst, run to the Lord. He is your high tower, and in him there is safety. We don't have to be worried. He's going to get us through tomorrow. And as he's getting us through tomorrow, listen, it's not about us. It's about us loving others and showing them Jesus Christ. It's us giving to others. It's us preaching the gospel and telling them that Jesus Christ is alive. He is well. He loves them and coming back soon. I am excited. I cannot wait. You know, there was this brilliant doctor. His name was Karl Barth. One of the most brilliant, complex intellectuals of the 20th century. He wrote volume after volume on the meaning of life and faith. One reporter once asked Dr. Barth, if you could summarize all that you have written in all these volumes, how would you summarize it? And here's what Dr. Barth said. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak and he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. Amen. Listen, you don't have to be an intellectual to understand God's love. You just have to be willing to surrender and receive it. I love when a man with a brilliant brain can realize that it's how simple God is. God has made salvation so simple that even children can understand. Why? Because love finds a way. God will find a way to save the children, to save the adults, to save the senior citizens. He wants us all to be saved. It's you and I that decide where we will spend eternity. But God has provided a way. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care. I know what he's done. He has provided a way. Love always finds a way. But the question is, have you found your way to his love? Are you in his love? Listen, too many are religious. Too many are religious. Too many go to church and have Bibles. Even Jesus said, few will find it. Brothers and sisters, as we're here today, I pray and I ask that you search your heart, that you see if in your heart, if you are truly surrendered to his love, you know of Jesus. Are you in love with Jesus? Have you accepted that love? Do you have a trust in his love? Are you in a place where you can just surrender and jump into his arms and know that he will catch you, sustain you, carry you, provide for you? He is your God. It's so important that you and I recognize who we are in Christ. You know, the best use of life, the best use for your life is love. The best expression of love is to give someone your time. And the best time to love is right now. Right now.
Oh, thank you.
I love you.
Love you too.
Thank you. So ask yourself. Self. Don't do that. Ask, but search your heart. Search your heart. See, where are you? Do you know of God and he sounds pretty cool and he's far off and it's like, ooh, I want some of that? Are you surrendered to God, in love with God? There's completely two different things. One is religious. One is relationship. One has eternal promise. The other is just empty actions. So here's the thought. If God is love,
and he is,
and God has a plan for you,
and he does,
and you say God is residing in your heart,
and he should be,
I pray he is, then shouldn't we have a plan to love others as we follow in his footsteps? Remember, Paul said, follow me as I what?
Follow Christ.
So Paul was an expression of Christ. And what did Paul's life look like? He went from town to town doing what? Telling people about
Jesus.
Sometimes it was painful. Sometimes it was joyful. But it was always beneficial and it was always wrapped in love. See, even Paul had a plan. And that plan was to teach the word completely. He said, I have not failed to give you the full counsel of God. Not part of the counsel, the full counsel. The good stuff and the bad stuff. The sin and the glory. Everything that you need to know for your life. Why? Because he loves you. I love you. That's why I'm up here. Now it's up to you to have the Spirit of God and go love on others. Especially in this time. In this time when people are needing love, when people are wanting to be loved, when people are struggling. So if God has a plan for us, shouldn't we have a plan for others? And then here's my other question for you. Maybe as you're here this morning, you came out in your car, thank you for being, isn't this beautiful? This is a beautiful day. It's wonderful to see all these cars, all you people. But listen, all of this will be for naught if you drive away from here not fully surrendered to God. Not religious. Not, well, I went to church today. Get rid of that. The scribes and the Pharisees did that. There's a lot of religious people. No, no. Did you come here because you wanted to love on Jesus? You want to hear from the Lord. You want to have corporate worship. You love the body. You want to be invigorated and empowered and equipped to go out and share the good news with people who are hurting. I pray that's your goal today. If that's your goal today, let me hear you. Okay, there were two of you who didn't. I'm worried about you now. Thank you. Listen, the Lord has blessed us today. Look, things are crazy. Y'all were able to drive here today. Y'all have food at home. Listen, now let's be thankful to the Lord. Amen. Let's not fear tomorrow. Let's proclaim his truth today. And let's trust that he has a plan to get us through.
Amen.
But I also want to do this. I'm going to pray right now. And I'm going to ask if you need to surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to either stand outside of your car. Don't go anywhere, just right outside your car, or just simply stick your hand out the window. Let me see your hands, and I'm going to pray first, and I'm going to ask to see your hands. Father God, I just pray right now. This is a very unusual, it's a very difficult thing, but Lord, you can meet someone in their car, in their home. You can meet us anywhere we need to be met.
And so, Father, I pray right now for those who are in their cars. If there's anyone who needs to surrender their heart, if there's anyone here today who needs to make a recommitment or a commitment for the very first time, I pray, Lord, that they would surrender, make that decision. So if that's you, would you please raise your hand? We have hands back in there. Great. Awesome. Awesome. See your hands. See your hands. Awesome. See your hands over here. Over here. Beautiful. Beautiful. Praise the Lord. Another hand up out back in that truck. I gotcha. Some more hands right there. Beautiful. Beautiful. So here's what we're going to do, folks. I see all these hands. It's wonderful. I'm going to pray for you right now. But I want you to know this. We're going to sing one more song after I pray for you. And then I want you to know on the way out, if you raise your hand for the first time, listen, we can't lay our hands on you. The city wouldn't look very well on us, and we don't want to get anybody sick or get sick. So we're going to ask you on your way out that you stop with the people in the orange. They got a little form. You just put your name and phone number, and we'll call you, and we'll pray with you. And as soon as this thing is over, we'll run to your house, and we'll meet you there. We want you to be strengthened. We want you to have fellowship with us. So let me pray for you. Father, for all those hands that went up, Lord, whether it be a first time, Lord, I pray that there's some first time commitments to you today. That would be beautiful. But Lord, any of those that are recommitments, I pray that these are commitments that are going to last, not just for a day, not just for a week, but that this is a real surrender to you, a love relationship surrender, a realization of who you are and how faithful you are. And so, God, would you please meet each person right where they are? And so, Lord, I thank you for those who raised their hand. I pray you'd bless them. I pray they sense your presence, Lord Jesus, more than they ever have ever in their whole life. That this would be a day that they will never forget. That would be a demarcation where they came alive to the name of Jesus Christ and to the salvation through the cross. And so, Father, would you please bless every single hand that went up, that was brave enough, that was surrendered enough. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. We praise you. What a beautiful day, Lord. And now, Father, we're going to sing one more song to you. May you receive it and may you be blessed by it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, all right, let's sing one last song to the Lord.